Next, we'll hear the Administrative Director's Report from Judge Stephen Jarre.
Thank you, Chief. Good morning, all. The written report of the Administrative Director, which you'll find in your materials, does, as always, summarize that which occurred since the last Council meeting in terms of activities, programs, and services in the AOC. I certainly invite your attention to it, as well as the attached statistical information at your convenience. I'd like to briefly highlight a couple of items. First of all, I would like to recognize, at her first Judicial Council meeting as Chief Counsel, Deborah Brown. Debbie's appointment, which was effective on October 1, came after an open recruitment with a number of very fine internal and external candidates. She was our first and top choice and is a worthy successor to Mary Roberts. I'd like to thank Justice Miller for serving on the interview panel in that activity, successful as it was. We're very fortunate, of course, that Mary is still with us and continues to serve as special counsel to the administrative office, or I should say to the executive office, as she completes her service in the month of December. She was very kind to provide us with that level of advance notice so that we could conduct this recruitment, identify her replacement so that there'd be a rational transition period. Debbie and Mary have always worked very well together, and I know that that transition process is going smoothly. So, again, we're grateful to Mary, whom we will have an opportunity appropriately to recognize for her public service come the December meeting. Debbie, as many of you are already aware, has had 15 years of exemplary service with the Legal Services Office at the Administrative Office of the Courts. She served as legal counsel to the Task Force on Trial Court Employees. She worked on the development of the personnel system for trial court employees and collaborated on drafting the Trial Court Employment Protection and Governance Act. She served as supervising and then managing attorney of the Legal Opinion Unit. Debbie also worked closely, of course, with Mary in addressing legal issues for the branch and all of our courts. She has earned the confidence, I know, and respect of our council members, justices, judges, and court administrators with whom she has worked through the years and will continue to ably serve the council and the administrative office and the courts. Turning to the facilities program, the new Governor George Duke Majan Courthouse in Long Beach opened in early September. There will be a dedication ceremony this coming month. We arranged a visit to the new court building by General Counsel to Speaker Perez and the Policy Director to Senate President Pro Tem Steinberg. They were joined by the Chair of your Court Facilities Advisory Committee, Justice Brad Hill, as well as Justice Jeffrey Johnson, Chair of the Courthouse Cost Reduction Subcommittee, AOC Chief Operating Officer Kurt Child, and Capital Program Office Director Bill Guerin. It is a proud new building and has a fine safety record in its construction. I will also say that I had the welcome opportunity to address participants at the dedication for Tulare Superior Court's new South County Justice Center in Porterville, which opened for business in October. It was a great celebration for the court and the community, and as with other new court facilities, there was an enormous outpouring of community pride and much praise for our Capital Programs Office and their fine execution of that project. On the new construction front, Justice Hill spoke on behalf of the Chief Justice at the groundbreaking ceremony for the new Hanford Courthouse in Kings County, on which construction is now underway. The 12-courtroom facility is anticipated to open in the spring of 2016. Updates on the Hanford project as well as on all other construction projects may be viewed regularly on the California Courts website. Turning to the disaster recovery exercise, AOC completed the 9th annual disaster recovery exercise, successfully demonstrating that infrastructure, network services, and applications hosted at our California Courts Technology Center can be safely and securely backed up and restored. The program goal was full recovery within 72 hours. We were successful in beating that goal by a significant margin with full network and applications recovery in 44 hours. Special thanks to the managers and staff from the 10 trial courts who volunteered to participate in testing over the weekend of that exercise. Fresno, Imperial, Lake, Merced, Sacramento, San Benito, San Joaquin, Stanislaus, Ventura, and Yolo counties. And special thanks also, of course, to Mark and our guys at ITSO for doing a great job. I'm also very proud to observe that Kurt Soderlund was invited to present at the annual 2013 Gartner Symposium and IT Expo on the East Coast regarding the implementation of our very successful Phoenix Financial, HR, and Payroll Systems. It was attended, the program, by CIOs and tech chiefs from around the world. I know that there are trial courts in our system that await patiently in line for inclusion in the HR payroll side of Phoenix when the resources permit. I've had the opportunity to visit trial courts along the way, but between the budget activities of the past budget season, not to mention a good deal of visiting with members of the AOC staff, I've been somewhat retarded in those opportunities. Happily, since the last council meeting in August, I've been able to travel to 24 of our superior courts. I've gained certainly a three-dimensional understanding of that which appears on paper concerning each of our courts. I was greeted in each instance warmly by the presiding judge, the chief executive officer, and in many cases, many staff and judges of those courts. As your own council member liaison reports reveal, this is a glass half full, not a glass half empty group of folks. Whether urban or rural, large, medium, or small, north, central, or south, underfunded or woefully underfunded, there's a sense of urgency in meeting the challenges of today, accompanied by a real sense of inventiveness and innovation that is present throughout these courts in meeting the challenges that we know they all face. I encountered a number of instances of really creative calendar reform and reorganization as courts work to offset closures of departments and, in some cases, entire court facilities. I, quite frankly, had the pleasure of talking shop with a number of judges who are involved in that calendar's design work, which I always used to enjoy being involved in. On the administrative side, there's been considerable process reengineering that goes on to streamline the processing of the case flow, not to mention the handling of citizen work at the counters and, frankly, balancing the two. The innovation has also included, I think, a very interesting phenomenon of collaboration between neighboring trial courts in an effort to leverage the resources that are available. One court, for example, collaborated with another to hire a joint IT manager to manage and handle all of their IT work, saving money from the money they used to have to spend on an outside consultant. Other courts have banded together to commonly hire an attorney to manage their self-help programs, arranging for appearances and community access by use of Skype, among other tools. We all know of the Riverside effort to create a collaborative buyers group. Similarly, my former court, Shasta Superior, hosts six other trial courts in a very successful consortium for collecting fines, fees, and forfeitures, far outstripping what the counties for those courts previously did in their behalf. Also noteworthy are the consortiums that have developed amongst trial courts to obtain discounts in the purchase of replacement CMS case management systems where rickety and old systems, which are at risk of not being well maintained, are confronting those courts. Obviously, one-time fund balances and reserves are considered for those activities. And these very creative collaborations, I think, have worked to the benefit of those courts as they go forward to try to solve their tech challenges. It's a can-do attitude, in other words, that I found in each of the superior courts and something certainly in which the citizens can confidently reflect. I also should tell you that, unsolicited, the CEOs and the PJs volunteered thanks repeatedly to the different offices of our agency, the Administrative Office of the Courts. I already mentioned capital programs. Also, Bert's real estate and facilities management unit was thanked for the help that they provide in the repairs, which are incessant and constant, to an array of old and oftentimes poorly maintained buildings, that is to say, buildings that were poorly maintained by their previous owners. As you're aware, that office, REFM as we now call it, is responsible for some 19 million square feet of existing court facilities, and we received thanks, I know most recently, from San Francisco relative to efforts to resolve a very tricky elevator problem in that jurisdiction. Likewise, thanks to Donna and Casso for successfully administering the Chief's Assigned Judges Program, which is a true lifeline for several of our courts. Thanks were passed on to Marine in Special Projects for the process reengineering work that she has done in collaboration with Kim Turner and others as the administrative sides of trial courts seek to find ways to more effectively and efficiently process the unending work with fewer resources. Thanks were also offered to the Criminal Justice Court Services Office that Shelley runs for assistance and backup, essentially, in the efforts by the trial courts to effectively implement the realignment that is so challenging on the criminal side of our houses. Diane at CJUR, of course, received thanks, as we know regularly flows to that office for all the help that they provide in judicial education. In this instance, however, with regard to an innovative regional program that is being prepared for the Tri-Counties area along the coast to save travel time for court staff and staff training and to save money also associated with that. Repeatedly, the courts gave appreciation to Ken and HR for the excellent services they've provided in the ever-growing labor negotiations activity. And there was any number of thanks for the services of LSO to the trial courts. As you know, when the trial courts call LSO, it's not for scheduled maintenance. It is for something that needs to be done yesterday because there is a fire that needs to be put out. And time and again, I was given thanks to pass on to LSO for the fine work that they've done, high quality and on time. Elbow grease, midnight oil, I guess, is the way they do it. At any rate, those statements of appreciation were heartfelt, and they also were given in recognition of the fact that we're shorthanded. So it was very, very happily received, and I pass it on to our staff who well deserve that praise. Finally, I should mention to you that the PJs and the court execs, relative to the matter of budget, as we look down the road at fiscal 14-15, see fiscal 14-15 as the watershed that the Legislative Analyst's Office in its report last year said it would be, for the twin reasons that we will no longer have fund balances to subsidize courts who have structural deficits, and we will no longer be able to resort to the repeatedly invaded construction revenue stream by way of redirections, which means substantial new general fund will have to come forward if we're simply to tread water. The trial courts are fully aware of that circumstance and are doing their level best to prepare for it. And I should also mention that regardless of who I talk to, be it an underfunded court or a woefully underfunded court, a court that was large or a court that was small, one that was barely able to rub two nickels together or otherwise, the preservation of fund balances was at the very top of their list of priorities to enable them to manage their cash and to business plan for longer than simply 12 months. They asked, how can we help? What can we do? And, of course, the answer was, as it always is, contact your legislators, have them come to court, come on the bench, see how our courts operate in their current state, speak with their staff members both at home and in Sacramento, coordinate your advocacy efforts through Corey's office at OGA, where we have all the resources available for them to assist in the advocacy program, and of course to coordinate with Judge Walsh and with David Yamasaki, the chairs of our PJs and court executives groups, to ensure that the message is reinforced and reinforced and then reinforced again. It was a really splendid group of meetings. I only wish I'd had an opportunity to meet with all the courts, which I intend to do over time. And that concludes my report, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Jarre. I'd ask, in this order, Judge Jarre to provide some additional reports to counsel. Judge Jarre.
Thank you, Chief. This will be very brief. I neglected several offices, obviously, within the AOC to whom thanks were directed. And I should mention one particularly because it had to do with the capital programs construction processes. When those thanks were conveyed, the thanks went on also to Malcolm and his Office of Security, because, as you know, they coordinate with Capitol Programs in that crucial end construction activity relative to placement of cameras and other security systems which they interact with Capitol Programs on. So the thanks, as seems to occur all the time from courts in many outlying areas, go to Malcolm and his crew for providing security. One last thing, the Duke Majan Courthouse in Long Beach, which I visited in June in construction, it was about three-quarters complete, was just a really immaculate work site. Everything was being done the way one, even a layperson such as myself, can appreciate as being done well. And at the time, they had an extraordinary safety record. I called this morning. Clifford Hamm was kind enough to, being the project manager for AOC, to get back to me. At the end of the project, it now being opened, 1.6 million labor hours was expended in the construction of that courthouse. No injury resulted that lost any work time whatsoever. That's so amazing. I thought you might be interested in that very, very fine record. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Jarre.